This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It could be too much for some people. So that's why I'm looking at Jed York now. And I do get a little concerned if I am a fan base when I always hear ownership getting involved, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, whether it's basketball. And now it could be a good thing. Like when Joe Lacob comes on our airwaves and talks about, I think an owner should be involved, and I think in any corporation, in any business, on any level, you should be willing to listen and be in conversations and be involved in these things. And to that extent, I do agree on. But when I start to hear the Jerry Joneses of the world, the late, great Al Davises of the world, you know, start getting involved in actual player personnel in contract talks, that's when I get a little concerned, Joe Shasky. Is this what we're getting at here with Jed York, or is it a little more of Jed York flexing his muscles over Shanahan saying, you know what, guys, you crapped out last year. We need to take a different approach this year.
If you say Parag and Jed, and you imply that they're going to have more influence, the immediate snapback reaction is people are going to lose their minds. I am not one of the biggest Jed York supporters. I'm probably one of his bigger haters over the last 15 years. If we were just like on the scale, I will defend this.
I'm not going to say hater. I'm going to say critic. There you go. Sounds classier.
I will defend this, though. I don't think Kyle's skill set, when it comes to player evaluations, is that great. Do I think he's a great play caller? Absolutely. Do I think he's a great head coach? I do. I do think he's a great head coach. I think we nitpick Kyle like no other. It honestly drives me nuts. On game day, dude is a butt kicker. Did he have a rough year this year? Absolutely. You know, I think Kyle, the personnel guy, kind of gets in his own way. Think of somebody like this, Mohamed Sanu. This guy was trotting out Mohamed Sanu week after week
Falcons
after
legend.
Week when everyone knew he was washed. Everyone knew he was washed. His obsession with Debo. I think he got a little close to Debo. Debo just wrote an entire article in the Players Tribune. It was like a love letter to Kyle Shanahan. And I'm saying to myself, whoa, dude, like, you got to have more of like a cold, callous feel when it comes, if you're going to be in the pros, when it comes to some of these guys. Can you have a relationship like Kerr does with Steph Curry? Absolutely. But you can't have that with every player on the roster.
That player also won four championships, so he's allowed to have that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's one thing for Belichick and Brady to, you know, hug each other and embrace. It's another when it's a guy who's underperformed multiple years in a row. Right. And I think that sometimes Kyle, the player personnel guy, has gotten in his own way. Look at their drafts. I believe, and this is just my assumption, I believe that their drafts in the first and second round have been god-awful. God-awful throughout the 7 years of the 49ers. Why is that? Because I think Kyle has a lot of influence on those picks. I have nothing other than my own gut intuition to explain that.
Trey Lance on line one. Right? Like, that's inexcusable to whiff that hard in the amount of draft picks and draft capital you gave up to get him.
Now, Dante Pettis, Jalen Hurts.
Dante Pettis, by the way, another re-signed with the New Orleans Saints. He's back.
Great.
The Carr Pettis connection.
I mean, I love that. Brandon Ayuk. Like, I look at so many different picks that they've had in the first couple of rounds. And outside of Bosa and Debo, most of them have been very underwhelming.
I mean, just go back to last year, Ricky Pearsall. I mean, there's so much baked into it. So you want to give the benefit of the doubt. I mean, the guy got shot. I mean, like, point blank, right there.
Yeah.
Your first round pick got shot, and he's alive, and he ended up salvaging the end of the season. But right now, it's not looking like an amazing pick, but it's a pick you're going to need to work out because you've put yourself in this hole in the wide receiver position where you're relying on Juwan Jennings and now second-year Ricky Pearsall. That's about it.
I'm glad you bring up Juwan Jennings because that's a great example of if you look at their draft history, where have they crushed it in 7 years?
The fifth,
fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh-round picks.
Yeah.
And I don't think Kyle's sitting there grinding tape on seventh-round linebackers and fifth-round tight ends and seventh-round quarterbacks. And we know. We know Greasy was a big influence in terms of that pick when it comes to Brock Purdy. Does that mean that Kyle shouldn't have influence? Of course he should have some influence. But I think there's a happy medium here. Allow the scouting department to do what they want to do, and they've crushed it. Fred Warner, George Kittle, Brock Purdy. Look at this roster, D'Amador Lenore. Look at the current roster. There's an argument to be said. Dominic Pooney I'll throw in there as well.
Right.
Their best picks have been third round or later. Dre Greenlaw is a guy who's going to leave right now, but he was a great pick. The early rounds, where it does feel like he puts his thumb on the scale, they've been spotty at best. So if you're telling me I want to get my finances in order and I kind of want my scouting department to be a little more empowered in the draft, I kind of agree with that. That doesn't mean Kyle sucks.
No.
That doesn't mean I'm running him out of town. It doesn't mean anything. I'm just trying to get my organization to where we're firing on all cylinders and allowing people who are great at what they do to do their jobs.
As far as it pertains to Kyle Shanahan, the talent evaluator, what is your trust level on that, 49ers fans? 888-957-9570. What is your trust level in Kyle Shanahan right now as legal tampering period begins in the NFL when it comes to make all these trades, when it comes to the contract talks? Now, it's a combination of things, but as we have talked about, as we've discussed, Tim Kawakami, Mike Florio, Kyle Shanahan ultimately has the final say on player personnel. When it comes to player personnel, what is your trust level with Kyle right now? 888-957-9570. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live in the Free Odyssey app. And obviously, we have the NFL draft happening next month, Joe Shiasky. So this is a crucial two-month stretch here in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, to get this thing moving. Now, alluding to the Mike Silver article that we've been referencing all morning, lukewarm seat at best right now for
Kyle Shanahan. He's not going anywhere.
So I want to make that clear. Not going anywhere. But I'll say this. If they have another disappointing season after you pay the quarterback, that's when I do think the seat could start heating up. And that's why I think these next 2 months are critical that they nail, not only in free agency, but some of these draft picks, because they have to retool and get back into contention sooner rather than later.
I totally agree with you. I think Parag is good at the contracts. I do. I think he is good at the contracts. I do think that the scouting department has hit some picks mid to late round.
Mm.
But I also believe that Kyle should be involved in the process.
Of course. They're
just taking back a little bit of the control. Here's the part we don't have the answer to. He might have it in his contract that he has final say on everything when it comes to 53-man, draft picks, etc. And I understand that. But I think a happy medium is Kyle. Take a little off your plate.
Do you think Kyle's
take a little off?
Do you think Kyle's ego will allow him to do that? He has a huge one.
But if you own the team, I think that it is also within your right to kind of like seize back some of that control
and
at least maybe amend the hierarchy slightly.
That's a slippery slope, though. When you start getting the ownership, you know, taking away some power from the head coach. How do I feel about that as the head coach? Now, their relationship could be good by all accounts. It is a good relationship, Kyle. And Jed and John Lynch all agree on most things. But we're all human, Joe Shiasky. You take a little bit of power from me. I'm the guy that got to two Super Bowls. I get it. Two different quarterbacks, though. One Jimmy Garoppolo and one Mr. Irrelevant. I did that. I got you here. You remember where you were before me, Jed? This is where I'm starting to feel if I'm Kyle Shanahan.
My retort to that would be...
But hold on. If I'm Kyle Shanahan, it's like, No. This thing's been working. Just because I had a down year and I whiffed on, you know, a guy that was second team all pro and wanted a big contract, and I love it, and that was one of the first round picks that actually hit for me, and I was trying to re-sign him. Now you're getting mad at me? Like, I do feel some kind of a way
for
Kyle Shanahan.
Well, no one's mad. No. What we're doing is we're
getting our books a little disgruntled.
No, I think our finances were out of whack. Our finances, and here's the other part. Kyle, I have compensated you. If I'm Jed York, this is what I'd say. You're the highest paid coach who hasn't won a title in North American sports.
He deserves to be.
No, but yeah. Are you not highly compensated? You are the highest paid non-championship coach in North American sports.
I can get paid more elsewhere, though, if I was hitting the market today.
But I've also spent more money over a five-year period than any other team in football. I have guaranteed more contracts than anyone over a four-year period and spent on a yearly basis the most amount of cash in the league. Like, we've done a lot of good work together. I'm retconning a little bit of your responsibilities.
I just think maybe if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I think you just got unlucky a little bit last year with injuries. That could happen. They just got unlucky. Like, I don't know if we're having this conversation had Brandon Ayuk stayed healthy last year. Maybe he has, you know, a disappointing season coming off his first contract there, his first big contract after being second team all pro. But that's okay. At least if he's healthy, then I could talk myself into, you know what, last year there was so much baked into in the offseason. It's going to be a fresh start. He's going to be there from start, from the offseason mini camps, all that. And we're going to ramp up and everything's going to be okay. I think you may have just gotten a little unlucky when it comes to injuries there. When it came to injuries with Christian McCaffrey, the straw that stirs that offense's drink, right? And the Trent Williams situation as well. There was a lot baked into last year that I honestly checked down to, got a little bit unlucky. That quite frankly, that's what, like, does that sound insane, Joe? But maybe if I just say, you know, last year was just a little bit unlucky and we'll see this year. And you know what? I hear you when it comes to the contracts, but I do that contract again, knowing the season that he came off of and knowing that's my guy and Kyle Shanahan had that much faith in Brandon Ayuk, I understand why Kyle made that move. I do. I don't think we're talking about it as being this horrific deal had he not got hurt. And I don't think you could bake that into the equation when it comes to all these contracts. Like, what if DK Metcalf gets hurt this year?
Yeah,
is it a bad contract?
No.
Like, that sucks. Like, come on, man. Yeah,
but Joe, I don't think
that's not fair.
I don't think it's just Brandon Ayuk. I think it's the way the Bosa thing went down. I think it's the Trent Williams. I think the Trent thing,
Trent had a tragedy that happened too. And I get it. He wasn't having his best year prior to that. But again, it's not like he was a bottom five left tackle. He was still a top 10 left tackle in the league.
At one point, and I'm not trying to cape up for Jed. I'm being fair here. At one point, they had the highest paid fullback, tight end, wide receiver, left tackle, linebacker, and defensive end. That's six positions, the highest paid in the sport.
Because they were all the best at their position.
Yeah, but not many other organizations could find a way to finagle that and make it work. I also kept Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster financially, even though you told me you wanted to trade three first-round picks for this guy, Trey Lance, and he got four starts. Like, it's never just one thing. I think it's the totality of everything. And, yeah, you came up a little short, and that's okay. No one's firing you. I'm not saying you don't have the final veto power. I'm saying I'm taking back the money a little, and we're going to pare this thing down, and we're going to get our stuff in order. It was unsustainable to plow forward the way that they were doing it financially.
What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Do you like what you're hearing, 49ers fans, if Jed York is getting more involved a little bit on the financial side? And what is your trust factor right now when it comes to Kyle Shanahan and player personnel decision-making?
And is it just Jed? Or because I'm viewing this as John Lynch might have more say, which I'm... Forget the Jed aspect. What about the John Lynch aspect?
On the other side, we'll get into it. And Tim Kawakami did talk about this last week. Maybe we'll have some sound from there as well. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Stay in your car while friendly technicians check oil, batteries, lights, tires, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. All vehicle types. Welcome.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From California, and it's plain to see, can't change me, because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
Right. Met Oreo last week at the knockout tournament. That was a hell of a lot of fun. You know what else is fun? Talking sports. That's what we do here. Talking NFL football, talking free agency, talking legal tampering. You know, this was fun on Saturday watching the Golden State Warriors improve to 11-1 in the Jimmy Butler era. When Jimmy plays, when Jimmy plays, they are 11-1, and their only loss was that crazy Kyrie Irving game when you probably should have been doubling him down the stretch. Too little, too late, but you know what? Warriors got action, man. They're 36-28 right now, but they cannot let their foot off the gas. They continue to play tough, and they started that 7-game homestand with the win over the Detroit Pistons, 115-110. They pick up that second game on this homestand, Joe Shasky, tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. Coverage of that starts at 6 right here on 95.7 The Game with Warriors Live. 7 o'clock tip. Again, you're home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game. We'll get into that game.
Because my guy, Gui Santos?
Gui Santos, Quinn Post, Moses Moody, Stephen Curry, Isaiah Stewart, Cade Cunningham. There is so much to get into. And Stephen Curry, Isaiah Stewart, real quick. And we'll get, again, there's so much happening in legal tampering here in the NFL, but real quick on Isaiah Stewart. What the hell are you doing, bro? Isaiah Stewart, there's like a meme now about him. It's like every time I see Isaiah Stewart, it's literally not even about basketball. It's him running at LeBron and shoving Steph Curry. What are we doing, man? He's trying to fight all the star players in the league. Like, know your role, big guy. You're not that guy.
Mess around and find out moments.
Yes, mess around and find out. I like the F around one, but we can't see that. Shout out to FCC.
Yeah.
But it is all-time mess around, find out. Like, I think of you know, Memphis and Dylan Brooks and John, when they were doing the whoop that trick thing, and they were and Draymond turned into a heel WWE wrestler, right? Chanted with the crowd down in Memphis. And what did they do? They end up just they end up torching him.
Well, you know how like the gritty became very popular and
Justin Jefferson.
You know, you wait for Justin Jefferson.
Can you gritty, by the way? You want to do it? Can you want to do it for the audience?
I'm not good at it.
Not,
we can get a 9-year old to come in and do it because they love the gritty.
Okay.
But I would say my favorite celebration in sports is the late game Draymond Green 3, where as he's backpedaling, he's giving you like this face. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He does this like face.
But then he does the
But he also like he does the shoulders.
Yeah.
And then he sticks the jaw out. Do you know what I'm talking about, boys?
Yeah. No. Kobe used to do that all the time. He'd do that weird like the Kobe face where he'd do like the underbite kind of.
And then he would do the fist pump. Kobe.
Exactly. But that's what kind of Draymond's doing a little bit of that.
But Kobe's Kobe. Yeah. This is Draymond.
Draymond's Draymond.
Who can't shoot. And that's what makes it funnier is when he hits the three, the reaction that he gives you is absolutely hysterical.
No, I love it every single time. But it's, you know, he does, and Marcus Thompson talks about this too all the time. He's like, he misses the early ones, but the ones late in the games, he makes them.
Except
there is a clutch level kind of right now.
I'm not even going to.
Shout out clutch with Draymond Green, obviously. There's a lot baked into that. But again, Draymond Green going up against the team he grew up rooting for, the Detroit Pistons, putting on that performance. And again, having Steph's back, having Gary Payton's back in the game prior when it was Zaire Williams and Gary Payton and Draymond coming up hooded with the knee pads on, getting out there. He's always ready for it. And the Warriors have this new swagger and this intensity with Jimmy Butler that I'd like to see a new swagger and intensity with the San Francisco 49ers.
Ooh,
like, you like that a little? Like,
I do.
Because I feel like, again, we're talking about players that you might be losing here and players that you have lost already. Deebo Samuel brought a lot of that swagger and intensity on offense.
No doubt.
And he's gone. Dre Greenlaw. I think someone's going to pay him a lot of money. And I don't think the 49ers are going to pay Dre Greenlaw what he wants. I think from what I've seen from reports, they're trying to do like a 1 year, you know, high teens, like 17, 18 million. I don't think that's going to cut it. If I'm Dre, I want more stability here. And I understand that because there is concern if you're the 49ers, rightfully so. The Achilles. I already got my star running back dealing with bilateral Achilles tendonitis. You don't have money there to allocate to Dre Greenlaw. And you can't replace him. Let's just call it what it is. You can't replace what he brings to this 49ers team, which is a swagger and intensity. But I do know this. They need to strike early. I already saw the Rams making moves. I saw the Seahawks making moves. I need the 49ers to not drag their feet. I'm seeing it right now with the Dallas Cowboys are dragging their feet with Micah Parsons' contract. That's going to get higher and higher. You know why? Max Crosby signed. Miles Garrett signed. Micah's price tag's going up. Oh, by the way, Trey Hendrickson, he's not going to go back to the Cincinnati Bengals. Why? Because the Cincinnati Bengals drag their feet in all this, and they drag their feet with the Jamar Chase situation. He's going to demand the bag. They already franchise tagged T. Higgins, so they're behind the eight ball. I don't need to see that from the San Francisco 49ers. They need to strike early and often, and it starts right now. There is an urgency with the San Francisco 49ers. They need to make moves starting today. Do something, man. Something.
Let's recap where the league's at currently.
All right. Let's do it.
All right, ready? First one, the big one, and we'll get to this in a minute.
I love the free agency voice, by the way. It was like the devil voice. You, Sam Lovin? That was great.
Put a bookmark in it because I want to talk Brock Purdy contract in a second. Josh Allen re-signing with the Buffalo Bills.
Huge.
Miles Garrett going back to Cleveland.
Huge.
Mega deal. Oh, boy, money talks, huh?
It always, like, please. I also think this. They definitely told Miles, we're drafting Campbell over Shedeur Sanders, so don't worry, you stay. We have a future here.
All right. Davante Adams, 2-year deal, Rams.
Tay-Tay.
DK Metcalf, traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Jones, going back to the Vikings.
He was good last year, Aaron Jones, for them. He was really good for them. He's 30 years old. He's 32, I think. He had a career year with them in his early 30s. Incredible.
Geno Smith pulled a night-night at Levi Stadium. He's going to the Raiders.
He is.
I can't believe that.
Tom Brady picking Geno Smith basically over Sam Darnold.
It's crazy. DJ Jones, Niners were linked to him. He's going back to Denver. T. Higgins, Niners had some, you know, people like Lockenfora, you know, linking the Niners to him. T. Higgins, franchise tag, staying in Cincy as of right now. The rumor mill. Hit me with the rumor mill.
Fade it in and out. It's just tough. Board up.
Rumor mill me.
Fade it in.
Bada-bing.
There you go.
Look at all these rumors. God, I love this beat.
Timex Social Club.
Aaron Rodgers, Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the rumor. Seattle Seahawks, Sam Darnold. That's the rumor. 49ers, Joey Bosa. That's the rumor.
They need to get Bosa now.
Well, no, that brings me right now into the Brock conversation.
By the way, another one I'll add on to it. Evan Ingram visiting the Broncos for Adam Schefter. So they're trying to get a tight end. There you go.
All right,
not as sexy as a name there, but
you want a guy who's always available on the waiver wire in fantasy?
By the way, per Dan Graziano of ESPN over the weekend, the Falcons told Kirk Cousins that he is not getting released. So who's going to trade for Kirk Cousins with that contract? Who's doing that?
Atlanta. Just, I mean, gosh. No one. No one is. No one is.
It's a great backup to have if Penix, you know, gets hurt. So we'll see.
Josh Allen. Would we agree he's one of the baddest dudes on the planet?
He is the reigning league MVP. Whether you thought he deserved it or not, he was up in the conversation. I thought Lamar Jackson should have won it. I get it. Voter fatigue, all of that. But yes, he is one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
So he got a $250 million guaranteed deal. Now, we're not really sure how many guaranteed years there are because like a lot of the specifics on the deal haven't come out. But if you do the math and you say, all right, it's a six-year deal worth 300 and something, whatever, but let's just go guaranteed money. If you break that down, and I don't know if it's over five or if it's over six, but if it's over five, it's pretty clean math. That's $50 million a year. If it's over six, that's $41 million a year with some change.
It says 6 years, $330 million.
But I'm looking at guarantees. Guarantees, right? And then that's how they kind of set up their cap hits. There's just no way in hell Brock should be AAVing in guaranteed money more than Josh Allen. He shouldn't even come close. So I actually think this deal with Josh Allen is a huge, huge, huge good deal if you're the 49ers front office and you're trying to get Brock Purdy to sign under a certain number. Because I have no idea how much money they can spend in free agency currently as everyone else around our division is just making moves and trading people away, doing some. We don't even know what our quarterback's going to cost. And I do think that that kind of throws a monkey wrench in their dealings right now, Joe.
Well, if you're Brock Purdy and you're his agent and we're trying to get this thing going, we're trying to get to 50-plus million, you know, yearly here.
He's not.
How does this affect it? I say, and is this a stretch? Just give me some
okay,
rope.
Okay.
Is this a stretch here to say, you know what? I've accomplished more than Josh Allen. I've gone to a Super Bowl. I've gone to a conference title game. I've been an MVP candidate. Now, this last year was a down year for me, I understand. It was a down year for the organization. There was a lot baked into that. I lost my wide receiver. I lost my best running back. I lost a lot. You know what? The team was put on my back, and I did deliver a few times, but I also dealt with some injuries as well because the offensive line wasn't good enough. I was not put in a great position to succeed. But where would you be without me? I feel like, you know, maybe I don't have the longevity of Josh Allen that has the equity built up in this league, but you start to pay me now and you start to project what I could be. Yeah, maybe I could be a perennial guy, perennial Pro Bowler going forward. Maybe I could be.
Joe, it's like laughable to compare Josh Allen to Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's a good player.
He's a top. I think it's laughable to compare Geno Smith.
Josh Allen
to Josh
has
Allen.
More rushing touchdowns in his career than O.J. Simpson.
Again, I understand.
A first ballot Hall of Famer.
There's differences between top five and top 10. I get it. Brock Purdy, I think, is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I believe that. He is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. So the notion that it's laughable to compare, you might think it, but during these negotiations, I'm absolutely comparing where my teams have been when I've been one of the best players on the team. And let's not get it twisted. The season they went to the Super Bowl, Joe Shasky, Brock Purdy was in the MVP conversations. You're only in an MVP conversation if you're one of the best players in the league.
I think the argument
was that.
And yeah, but the argument is like,
you could say, oh, that was more Christian McCaffrey and he should have been in the conversation. And that's fine because running backs compared to the quarterbacks, that's all baked in there. But I'm using that in negotiations. I understand it might sound laughable to all of you listening right now, and you can call in 888-957-9570, the 49ers. What's some of the moves you want to see made? The 49ers, Joey Bosa being linked there, all of it. I want to hear from the people today that are waking up this Monday morning, seeing all the moves being made in the NFC West, saying, what the hell are the 49ers doing? 888-957-9570. I just do think it gets baked into the equation during these negotiations.
His second year in the league, when he his first full season of starting, okay, he had a better year that year than Brock did this last year. Mm-hmm. He was 20 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. He also ran for a bunch that year. Since then, 37, 36, 35, 29, 28 touchdowns passed. Like, with a dozen touchdowns every single year on the ground. Again, he has more running touchdowns. This is Josh Allen than O.J. Simpson.
$55 million averaged per
year. Josh Allen has more rushing touchdowns than CMC in his entire career. That, like, these are stats. These are facts. Like, we could talk about what Josh Allen and some of his maybe playoff shortcomings via in terms of team accomplishments. 32 out of 32 teams are taking Josh Allen all day over Brock Purdy. There's not a team in the league who's taking Brock Purdy over Josh Allen. There's just not. That's a lot of
money. Price matters in all of this too, sure, as well.
Sure.
So, the 49ers clearly aren't in a position to be paying Josh Allen the type of money the Buffalo Bills are. And there's levels to this, and there's going to be, I'm very curious, and everyone goes to the yearly average. Again, I said at $55 million average per year for Josh Allen. I always look at the guaranteed in total. And the length of the contract, like the true length of the contract, and that hasn't been quite released. Again, you're going to start to see all the frameworks of these deals. You're not going to know what they are until they're actually signed them, and then it becomes public knowledge, and then we see it on the spa tracks, right, the over the caps. Then we start to see it on Wednesday. Again, if you're just joining us, legal tampering starts today in the NFL, so you're going to see all these different trades, all these different releases, everything start to be released today, and then Wednesday you'll start seeing these teams actually sign the deals, come to fruition. Like the Deebo Samuel one, for instance, you'll see that, it's official, by the way, he's a Washington Commander. Yeah. That's going to happen on Wednesday when the new league year officially begins. That's why I call it Christmas. We got some callers, Yoshiaski, that want to chime in on this.
I just want to make this very clear. Like, Dak Prescott set an unprecedented number prior to Josh Allen getting this number. Matt Stafford got a number way lower than we thought than what Dak's getting, after the Dak Prescott deal was signed. So now we have multiple quarterbacks who everyone in the league is going to take over Brock Purdy, taking significantly less than what top dollar would be out there in terms of market value. So for 2 years, like, the next guy up, he gets paid the most. It doesn't matter. Well, no, that's actually not true. So now what I think is going to end up happening is the 49ers are sitting here, and they're either going to be the first in line to get Purdy inked, or they're going to wait for the Geno extension and the Sam Darnold signing and try to slot Purdy based on those numbers. That's what it feels like. It's one of the two things. Either they beat the market and they try to set Brock Purdy down, and then boom, Darnold and Geno dominoes fall right after, or the Geno and the Sam Darnold dominoes fall, and then the Brock Purdy deal falls. One of those two is going to happen.
What do you think the 49ers should do there? Wait for Geno and Sam Darnold to sign, and then react to that and find a middle ground between, Josh Allen and those guys? Because I think on those guys' best days, they're, 15th, 16th, 17th best quarterbacks in the NFL, maybe on a good day. Like, Sam Darnold at times played like a top 10 player last year, but I don't think anyone's putting Sam Darnold in their top 10. I think top 15-ish when he's on, okay. But should they say, Brock, like, let's get this done now before those, or wait?
I would be shocked if he ends up, like, I don't know what they're going to do in terms of that, but I'll be shocked if he's going to get more money than he thinks after those guys sign. I think, if anything, the 49ers have a number in their head, and I don't think they're budging. I think they've lost 4 or 5 contract negotiations in a row, and they're hell-bent on not losing this one, because this one is not a normal contract. If he can get inked up for 3 years at under $40 million guaranteed, I'm talking 3 guaranteed years and under $40 million guaranteed. I think that's what their number is. I think their number is about $120 million guaranteed over 3. And that's what I think the number is. And I don't think Geno's getting that, and I certainly don't think Sam Darnold's getting that. So, yeah, I think he's looking closer to the Baker deal, or at least in terms of money, than he is Trevor Lawrence or Tua. I think those are bad deals, and Parag knows that.
TC, SAC, 888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers fans, I want to hear from you today. We want to hear from you all day long right here, 95.7 The Game, as legal tampering has now begun in the NFL. What are some of the moves you want to see made? We've seen Devontae, he's a Ram. We've already seen DK Metcalf get traded. We've seen Geno Smith get traded. The NFC West are making all the big moves, and the 49ers are part of the NFC West. And I've only seen, as I go to the free agency tracker, let me see here, Ben Bartsch That's the move that we've made. Signed to a one-year extension, offensive guard, exactly.
Who played late in the year and actually was good.
There you go.
In a handful of games. Yeah, I know that sounds insane. He was actually good.
He was actually good. That's the move
he
I
was.
Want. Yeah, no, that's great.
He was.
Ben Bartsch, bring in something else. Maybe Joe
Better
Osmosa.
Than paying $20 million a year for Aaron Banks.
TC, what you got, brother?
Hey, what's up with my two guys, man? It's been a minute. I had to tap in on this, because you know this right up my alley. What's up?
What's up, dog?
Hey, man, just chilling, man. Look, check it out. So we're talking about Purdy's age. Joe, you know I've been pushing that. Man, that's more, that Baker contract is more than enough. Like when they said that 45, to me, that was more than enough for Brock. Actually, that was kind of like too much in my opinion, to be honest with you. So the whole 60 and 70 that everybody was talking about, dude's not getting that. In my opinion, dude's not even worth that, bro. And I love what Jed is doing right now. Finally growing a pair, right? Saying, Kyle, this is it. This is it for you, dude. And I like how he's pulling the reins back. No, you don't have no say-so. This is it. Whoever we bring in, whoever me and John bring in, this is what you're working with, bro. And if you don't pull it off this year, bro, you're out of here. So I like it, bro. That's why I had to call in, because this is right up my alley. I like what Jed is doing, and Brock's not getting 70. That's all I got.
Look, they've had a lot of success in the 7-8 years of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, and they've kind of been able to do whatever they want to do. And I think ownership looked up and they were like, man, dude, this team had a really bad season, and it cost us a lot of money in terms of guarantees. And if we want to have good seasons in the next couple of years, we do have to kind of reestablish financial flexibility. That's a fair thing. And when you pay the quarterback as much or around as much as you gave Nick Bosa, that's going to lock you in. Mm. And so you better have the finances around those two guys making that much money set up pretty nicely. And I'm kind of with him. Like, I don't think it's the worst thing to give. And I'm not just saying Jed. I'm saying John Lynch deserves more say. I really think that's the undertold part of this whole equation. You hear Parag, you hear Jed. I think John Lynch should be having more of a say.
Breaking news.
Oh, there's a little sound.
What do we got?
Okay,
what
I got it right here. Per Adam Schefter, ESPN, J.C. Horn has agreed to a four-year, $100 million extension that could be up to $108 million maximum, including $70 million guaranteed with the Carolina Panthers. At $25 million per year, J.C. is now the highest-paid DB in NFL history.
Wow.
J.C. Horn signs a $100 million extension with the Carolina Panthers.
That's almost half of what D'Amino Lenore got in guarantees.
Right?
So, like, I know everyone loses their mind. They signed D'Amino Lenore during the regular season to an extension. It was a great deal.
Yep.
Under $40 million guaranteed throughout the life of the deal. And I think D'Amino Lenore is a underrated great player.
And J.C. Horn's obviously a baller. Deserves
he's good.
Yeah. And if you're Carolina, again, Carolina tax, if you will, there's a Panthers tax to be paid. Absolutely. They're Panthers, though, I'm not sleeping on next year.
As Horn's dad went to jail for tax evasion.
Joe Horn. Was it his dad or was it his uncle? It was one of them.
He is related to him, right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
There's so many of them, I can't give you an exact name. All-time interview, if you've ever missed it.
Carter, do you even know about
Joe
this?
Joe Horn on with the Late Butcher Shop with Ryan Covey and Joe Shasky. I was the board op for that. Lucas Alexander, producer extraordinaire now with Willard and Dibbs. But prior to that, was at the Butcher Shop. Joe Horn. 5 or 10 minutes, but it was the greatest segment in the history of 95.7.
It looked like he was looking out the window at the feds watching him. And I go, that was one of the worst interviews of all time. It was early in my career. The next morning,
he gets charged. Yeah.
Like, with 7 federal indictments.
Yes, it was not a good look. But it was his last, was that his last legit interview on the airwaves?
I was like, what are you doing now? Covey asked something to the effect of, like, what exactly are you doing now? Still a lot of marketing.
That's all it was.
What is going on here?
So good. We're just peeling the curtain back.
All-timer.
Those that know, know. Those that don't. 888-957-9570. You know, JC, that was a big move. And again, we're going to be breaking down all the big stuff that happens. We're going to be hitting that little sounder. If you get the legit breaking news sounder, that means something happened in the NFC West or with the San Francisco 49ers in particular. By the way, talking about the 49ers and Brock Purdy and trickle downs, Diana Russini of The Athletic, talking about the reports with Chase Daniel that the $40 million Brock Purdy offer might have been Fugazi. I don't think my little levels are potted up there, Carter. Can you give me? Tell me when it's potted up. We good? Can I play it now?
My bad.
It's all good. It happens. Nope, still not up. I'm playing it on my computer. Yep, nope.
There was something that came out that the starting offer was $45 million a year for Brock Purdy. Do you think that's disrespectful?
That would be disrespectful, and that did not happen.
Okay.
That's not true. That did not
happen.
They did not offer $45 million.
And that's why I don't believe everything I hear.
Okay.
So do you think that it was less or more?
I think this might be a cover-up job from the Niners saying, no, that wasn't true. Maybe it was. I don't believe anything right now. Let's say it's lying season. I don't believe in any of this stuff.
Yeah, but like
when you said, like, I don't, like, 40, it could have been 45 million. Now it's changed. And it's like, oh, that wasn't accurate. Like,
after the year Baker Mayfield just had, and he's making about $34 million a year guaranteed.
Baker was a baller. If you had him in fantasy, you probably won a lot.
And,
yeah.
Like, I'm seeing some of these contract extensions, Stafford, and now the Josh Allen one. Like, just for people like comparing Brock to Josh Allen, Josh Allen has made every start for 7 straight years. Okay. Every start that he's been available. This is in a row. 10 wins, 13 wins, 11, 13, 11, 13. I already gave you all the touchdowns. He's getting $55 million guaranteed. He is the model of consistency. He is that organization.
Yeah.
We don't even know who their coordinator is. We've been arguing about that for like multiple years. He is that organization. I think he has all the leverage in the world. He got $55 million guaranteed. Matt Stafford, we know that McVay loves him, and we know that he had other suitors. His number is lower than that. I don't see Brock getting anywhere near that $50 million guaranteed. I think the Niners have a lot more leverage than I thought 2 months ago. I really do. I think they're going to get a sweetheart deal here relative to the quarterback position.
Would you be upset if he got $50 million, the average per year? Would that be like too much? Like, that's ridiculous?
Guaranteed? Yeah, I would be shocked.
Really?
Yeah, I would. I don't think Prague's getting played like that.
What if it's a true 3-year deal? What if you say to that? Like, what if it's like, that's the average, but it's a 3, could be a 4-year.
I don't see them giving over $150 million guaranteed over 3 years to Brock Purdy. I just don't see it.
I'm very curious how this
is. I think a year ago this time, I thought there's not a doubt in my mind, and so much has changed.
If I'm Brock Purdy, and I'm negotiating this contract right now, and I'm comparing myself, and you're comparing me to Baker Mayfield, when I feel like I've done more than that guy, I feel like, again, I've gotten hurt, I came back from that injury, and I was at the top of my game, and even this past year, if you have concerns about my durability, sure, you can say that with Joe Burrow. You can say that with some of the other guys that have gotten hurt that are some of the big boys in the NFL, the Justin Herberts of the world, right, that get paid a lot more than I do. I feel like I am just as... I look at a Justin Herbert, by the way. This is where I get a little concerned if I'm the 49ers, I'm a fan, because you say Josh Allen, but on the other hand, I see Trevor Lawrence and Tua and all these other guys getting paid, and I was like, I'm better than those guys.
Yeah, but those are bad deals.
I'm better than those guys, though, Joe Shasky.
Those are bad deals.
Yep, I don't care if they're bad
deals.
How
many GMs in the league are taking...
That's not my problem, though.
Yeah, but how many GMs in the league are taking Herbert over Purdy? I'd say almost all of them.
Okay, great. And where's that going to get you? I know what my guys want with me, and what the best play caller in the NFL outside of Andy Reid, that's my guy. And Kyle Shanahan wants me on the team. John Lynch wants me on that team. And again, we've seen from last year, according to reports, if they want me on this team, they want me to get paid. They wanted Brandon Ayuk on this team. Kyle Shanahan did. He wanted him to get paid, and he ran up to like get this deal done. You know, hey Jed, hey, John, Parak, get this deal done. Is Kyle Shanahan running at bat for Brock Purdy to get this deal done now? Do you think he is?
I think John Lynch really likes Brock Purdy.
You think Lynch likes Brock more than Shanahan does?
That I don't know.
This time last year, I do think that Shanahan loves Brock Purdy.
I agree.
You think a lot changed this past year?
I think a lot of shine came off the veneer, if you will.
Do you think Shanahan views Purdy differently as a quarterback going forward because of this past year?
Well, Shanahan himself brought up to Tim Kawakami, when you break down these quarterbacks and stuff, it's like, all right, well, he's making $1 million. This is the team we could build around him. When he's making $40 million, what's the team you can build around him? And I think that's the question that we're having today, as every team in the division is making moves and the Niners are kind of standing pat and they're at the bargain bin trying to like rifle through things. We don't know how much they want to pay Brock. We don't know how much he wants.
I think they have a number in their mind, and I don't think they're going to go over it this time. They lost the Ayuk deal, the Trent deal, Bosa deal, all in succession. The Debo deal. I don't see this $55 million guaranteed deal for Brock materializing, especially when Brock himself has to acknowledge, boy, I need some talent on offense. Yeah. Boy, I need some defense to help me out because I can't put up 50 a week.
Sure, but again, as we talk about this league, the price today isn't going to be what the price it is next year. This deal, although it might look eyeball, like, and we always have to look at the final contract details.
Sure.
Because the wizards out there, the financial guys, they'll all release the info. Actually, it's really a 3-year deal baked into so-and-so to make this person feel better. So they have, you know, like, kind of like the Max Crosby and Miles Garrett thing. It's like, it's actually this much, but, you know, they get this certain number, so it makes them feel better. Oh, this is the highest paid, and I like how we do this now, highest paid non-quarterback contract. So it was Max Crosby for a couple days. Now it's Miles Garrett. Then it's going to be Micah Parsons for a little bit, right? So it always is, and it was Nick Bosa prior to Max Crosby signing it. So there's always a trickle-down effect there. And I do think, we're not going to see Brock Purdy overtake Josh Allen. That, I know, is not happening. That's not happening. Is there a happy medium between, you know, the Baker Mayfield, the Josh Allen contract, something baked into there? I do think that's what it's going to ultimately be. Something baked into, you know, a Baker Mayfield in between that and a Josh Allen type of a contract.
I would agree.
You might come out and say, wow, you see all these big numbers. I'm going to wait and see how it looks there. And I do know, as far as a stability and stability for this organization, the sooner they get this done signals to me that they've learned from the past mistakes about dragging their feet. Because when this deal gets done matters to me. Get this thing done before the draft, man.
Yes.
Like, that's the timeline.
I want it done this week so we can figure out what our finances are for free agency.
Yes.
Because they've got a lot of holes. Look, the kid Allen from Washington just got released. I'd love to bring him in. You know, Joey Bosa is out there.
Real quick on that, it is funny we're talking about, like, I want to bring in Joey Bosa and Jonathan Allen, a defensive tackle, obviously, for the Washington Commanders. Are those both guys, like, 30 years old? Do you want to allocate that much money to, like, old guys? Like, they're old.
I don't think they're commanding that much money. That's the thing. I think Joey Bosa, to me, is a 2-year deal, like 2 years in terms of guarantees. Like, and this is probably their only opportunity to play together. And Matt Maiocco, I listened to the podcast yesterday. The way it sounds like they're going to get Joey Bosa. That's what it sounds like. And because the price point is there, the need is there, and they're still going to draft guys. But you could find those defensive tackles to plug holes late in the draft. This is a very defensive tackle heavy draft, but you would want at least one veteran. Right now, you don't have Malik Collins. You don't have Javon Hargrave. You don't really have any veterans that you trust on that defensive line in the middle. I'm talking about in the middle at the D-tackle spot. So bringing in one guy and then supplementing with a bunch of draft picks, there's nothing wrong with that.
By the way, Joey Bosa, that's the sexy name right now. If you're just waking up, if you're just tuning in, a lot of moves happening right now in regards to the NFC West. Devontae Adams is now a Ram. Seattle Seahawks traded away DK Metcalf, Geno Smith. What are the 49ers going to do? They got to do something. They can't do nothing. Malik Collins, they're probably going to release. Obviously, Javon Hargrave is going to be a post-June 1 designation. You've already gotten rid of Debo Samuel.
There are guys that we would like to bring back that are now obviously auditioning elsewhere.
Dre Greenlaw, Talanoa Hufanga. There's a lot
Aaron
of them.
Banks.
Aaron Banks. There's a lot of moves to be made here, and there's a lot of teams with a lot of cap space that will overpay for some of these guys where it's just like, man, we were never going to pay that much for this person. I think of Dre Greenlaw being that guy. Like, he might get a contract. Maybe it is with the Houston Texans. Maybe it is the Raiders who have a lot of cap space. Maybe they overpay for some of these guys that fills a need for them that they desperately need. And by the way, is Joey Bosa a desperate need for this team right now? And what is his fits potentially with the San Francisco 49ers? Brian Baldinger, our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, joined us last week. Joe Shasky, this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, Robert's a front four guy. He doesn't want to blitz a lot. Get home with your four. I mean, the Eagles proved that if you can do that on a consistent basis in a Super Bowl and affect a quarterback, like, you're going to be a better team all the way around. Yeah, I mean, and Joey can go inside, rush over, guards that aren't as athletic, and win inside. He did that for, at times, when he was with the Chargers. He can play up and down the line. And he's good against the run. He's a good leverage player. I don't think, he's still big. He's bigger than Nick. He's still got length. He still can, beat you with a two-hand swipe. Like, I think he's still got skills left. They haven't just all left his body. He's been frustrated because he's missed a lot of time with injuries.
Breaking news.
Khalil Mack.
Where?
Back. to Los Angeles Chargers.
He's a Charger?
One-year deal.
Yeah, you held that for a little too long.
I'm sorry.
Like, where are we going?
I felt great about doing that. It's just like, it feels fun making it dramatic. But he's back in L.A.
Wow.
So, a guy that, again.
Niner fans got linked to.
Yeah, no, Niner fans, Lions fans, wow. A lot of people.
How much?
Love Khalil Mack. One-year deal.
1 year, $18
million. That's not a lot.
What's the guarantees? Do we know? No,
all of it is guaranteed.
All of it's
guaranteed. So that tells me Bosa's probably going to be higher than 10, but lower than 18.
Khalil's
right?
What, 34 years old, so he's a little bit longer in the tooth.
Is probably a better player today and more consistent player today than Bosa.
He's a future Hall of Famer. He's a guy that commands, like, that's the kind of a guy you say he gets better and better and better. And you're just like, when is this guy going to slow down? And he just gets sacks in each and every year, and he makes big plays, definitely in the run as well as the passing game. So Khalil Mack returning to the Chargers after the Chargers already released Joey Bosa, so making that a big priority.
Yeah.
And a leader of that defense, Joe Shasky.
The other guy is the New York Jets had a free agent, a linebacker that Robert Saleh loved, his kid Sherwood. And had the Niners not brought Greenlaw back, which we still don't know, they would have gone after this kid Sherwood. Well, he signed a deal late last night, early this morning, for about $30 million guaranteed. So he's off the table. There aren't a lot of people that the Niners are targeting. Again, going back to the money and the quarterback, there's so much unknown right now with the 49ers financially. I think that their moves are going to be few and far between.
What would you like to see the next couple of days, Joe Shasky? As a fan right now, you're waking up.
I think they need draft capital.
Okay, so you're trying to move on from some guys?
Yeah. Yeah, I think cool. I would probably trade Brandon Ayuk, and I would look at trading some other guys.
What are you going to get in return for, like, what's a third-round pick, maybe?
Fourth and a fifth.
Really? I mean, you're trying to just eat this year, is what you're saying.
It's not necessarily just this year. It's also, like, I just need to reset my finances and just take the cap hit now so that 1 year from now today, we're not having these same conversations about, hey, we're bargain bin shopping. I want to be shopping in the Gucci aisle.
You want to be shopping at Macy's, not Ross Dress for Less?
Yeah.
But I like both of them. That's okay.
Yeah, but having financial flexibility.
I got a nice Puma jacket from Ross once upon a time.
It's really helped the Philadelphia Eagles. It's helped the LA Rams the last couple of years. And, like, you've got to be able to absorb some of those deals, whether it be via trades or, you know, in free agency outright.
If you do trade Brandon Ayuk prior to June 1st, you do have an $18.4 million dead cap hit in 2025, but obviously you get the money for the future years off the book. So that is why you would do it. If you do a post-June 1st, obviously you get the $4.6 million dead cap this year, but it extends into next season at $13.8, and that is what you do not want.
And the other guy that I'm kind of monitoring, because it gives me a clue as to what they're feeling, if they bring back Jordan Mason, who's a restricted free agent, right. A, they like Jordan Mason. That was what it would tell me. And B, do they know something about CMC? Like, I think if they let Jordan Mason just go, they probably feel good about CMC. And this could be a stretch. This could be a stretch here. But if they let Jordan Mason go and they don't get any compensation back or whatever, to me, that tells me, like, they think that they can find someone in the draft, and they believe CMC is better and ready to go.
So it's Mason and Elijah Mitchell, right? They're both unrestricted.
I think Elijah Mitchell's
he's gone
100%.
Okay,
but that's my feel.
But if Elijah is not commanding much there, and you can get him back for the cheap, why not? Again, he's had a lot of injuries.
He
hasn't played a lot. Well, he didn't play at all last season. He was hurt. Isaac Arendo, you still have, obviously. Yeah. He's a rookie last year who showed some flashes, but also got hurt.
Also hurt.
Like, that's the
three times in a season.
Which, if we're talking about all this, then they're probably drafting another running back, you would assume. Like, that's what happens, right? That's what happens.
Taxes.
It's a run first team.
And Kyle drafting another quarterback.
Right? Is Ashton Genty?
It's fair.
Ashton Genty, is he on line one? Is he going to fall there? I wonder where Ashton Genty goes, by the way, now after all this stuff shakes out. Is he going to be a top? Like, we go from 5 years ago, Joe Shasky, you don't draft a running back in the first round. It's not good positional value. I'm giving this a C-minus grade. And then you get, you know, Saquon Barkley, the top five. And now all of a sudden, a couple of years later, Saquon Barkley is a baller, and he's the reason why you win the Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I keep coming back to this. I truly believe that the Joey Bosa move is going to be one of the few moves that they make. And I don't think it's even close to enough for them to compete. I just not.
To compete?
It's a nice move
West?
On paper.
I'm not scared of the NFC West. Let's wait and see.
This team has gaping holes everywhere, and they're not going to shore everything up in free agency. They need draft picks. The draft is going to be what's... And I'm not trying to push the thing down the road here. I don't see them answering all the needs. They need a tackle. They need another guard. They need maybe a center. They need multiple linebackers. They need a free safety. Probably need another wide receiver. Need defensive tackles. Joey Bosa doesn't solve those issues.
You know what does solve some issues for us right now as we clean things up? The injury report. That's what I was telling you, Cargan, New Year. I was going to throw to the injury report, and you said you couldn't hear me. So there you go.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
We'll get back into the 49ers. We'll get back into this team, though, too. I want to touch on the Golden State Warriors because they had a huge win over the weekend. And, you know, can they get another huge win and a huge addition? We'll see with Jonathan Kuminga, who will not be playing basketball tonight against the Blazers. Steve Kerr said before Saturday's game, though, that JK is scrimmaging in practice and working his conditioning back into game shape, though he made no indication that a return to the court was imminent. Brandon Pajemski is also out tonight as he continues to deal with back spasms that flared up in Brooklyn. That's a little concerning for me. It's three games now he's basically missed with a back injury. Never want those to be happening, especially that early in your career. So hopefully he'll be back soon. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. More of your calls, more of your texts. What do you need to see from the 49ers in these next few days? Legal tampering has now begun. Do you want to see Joey Bosa? Do you need Joey Bosa right now if you're the 49ers? Who do you want to see be made priority? Dre Greenlaw? Talanoa Hufanga? Brock Purdy? Who should be the priority right now for the San Francisco 49ers? What is priority number one in San Francisco? 888-957-9570. Plus, we'll touch on the Golden State Warriors. Time to give Steve Kerr his flowers on 95.7 The Game.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.